you want to look at the first page of our song sheet, it says collect. I'm going to pray that. You can pray with me if you'd like, silently or loud. God, which knows us to be set in the midst of so many and great dangers, that for our frailness we cannot always stand uprightly, grant us health of body and soul, that all those things which we suffer for sin, by your help we may well pass and overcome. Through Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of each one of our hearts is acceptable unto you, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So I was looking at this this collect, and I was looking at the readings, and I thought to myself, what does this collect have to do with our readings? This is what a collect is a traditional prayer of the readings. So basically, it's an interpretation of whatever readings we have for Sunday. So every Sunday we have readings, they fit in. And every collect is interpreting that. It's a way of teaching us how to pray, teaching us how to pray Scripture. And it talks about the core of Christian faith. This particular one is about 1,700 years old. But it has worked its way into our church. And I find it fascinating. I find it fascinating because it's written in the context of the persecution of the church. In the context of the struggle of the church to survive the oppression of the Roman Empire. But it carries weight and meaning that goes to us even now. It says, God, which knows us to be set in the midst of so many and great dangers, that our frailness, but that because of our frailness, we cannot always stand uprightly. Think about that. God who knows us who cannot stand uprightly because of our frailness and weakness, because who knows that this world and what it has and what it brings against us, the struggles and trials of this life at times, the battles of grief, the pains, the negative things we've been told about ourselves, the negative things we tell about ourselves, the stories of this life, the pressures to be perfect, to succeed in this way, the fears about the future, all of these things, our own failings, our own sins, our own struggles, it's God knows. God knows it's too much for us. Think about that. God who knows how weak we are and how much we need. I was listening to I won't recommend this comedian because I'm in church. But I was listening to a stand-up comic who was talking about sometimes when he's in the shower, he just has this sense of something. He remembers something he did in his past or something he doesn't like about himself, or just something just hits him in the shower and he's just got to scream it out. He's got to scream it out, you know, and he does the whole thing, ah, ah! And then his wife will be, honey, are you okay? He's like, yeah, why? You know, just got to scream it out. I don't know if we all have that experience, but I think we do. I don't think we all handle it the same way, but I think we all have that experience where we're just like, alone, and for no apparent reason, we just loathe ourselves. Someone, we encounter something, and we're just like, why did I do that? For me, who sometimes doesn't have the filter from the brain to the mouth, it can be a, why did that just come out of my mouth? Like, what? You know, or why did I say that? It's not even what I meant, you know? And so, and these things come back on us, and they have power. They have power over us. these narratives, these stories we've been told about ourselves, the things we've done wrong, the griefs and the struggles, it all has power. And sometimes you just got to get in a shower and you got to scream it out. And the voice that brings it back likes to tell you, you're alone. You're the one who deals with this. But we're all screaming it out. We're all doing it. It would help if we would just admit it. It would help each of us if we would just admit it and admit how hard things are. Because then the people in the midst of their grief will remember, I'm not the only one. And God knows it's hard. If it wasn't so hard, what is the point of Christ? What is the point of Jesus if it isn't so hard? You know, what is the point? He could have just let us run. We would have worked it out. But the issue here is that life is too much at times. It's unbearable at times. I'm not saying that we're all depressed and, you know, walk around, but there's a weight we carry. It's on our shoulders. It's in our hearts. There's a voice that tells us, you're not worthy. You're not worthy. You're being punished. All these things, all these lies, it's the enemy. You know, it's the enemy just trying to take us out, trying to crush us right there. And this brings us to what Christ did in the synagogue. In the synagogue, he's out there teaching, and people are just like, whoa, this teacher. They talk about how he speaks with such authority, you know, because the givers of the law aren't going to speak with that authority about the law because maybe they're wrong. So they're all just weighing things. But Jesus comes in and teaches and says, this is this, and this is this, and this is how it is. And people are amazed. I don't know if that's a positive amazement or a negative amazement. We tend to think of amazement as this positive thing. It may have been like, why is he so certain? But there was an amazement. But they didn't recognize him. They didn't see him. But there was a man there. A man carrying a weight. A man carrying a struggle that was a burden that was upon him. That was more than he could bear. And it says a spirit, an evil spirit, cried through him. I know who you are, Jesus of Nazareth. Why are you bothering us? This, I know who you are, Jesus of Nazareth. In that time, it was understood that if you called someone by their full name, their true name, you had power over them. Yeah, we miss some things that are cultural, right? I know, you know this, we know this. When mom gets mad and she says, Justin Daniel Hoag, child of my sorrow. That's my full name, the name that has power over me. child of my sorrow, Justin Daniel Hoag. you think I'm joking? There's a power to it. We all know this. We're laughing because we know it. When the middle name comes in and there's an added point to it, there's power. An added meaning to your name. You are this. Right? And most of the time it's a lie. Most of the time, but it has power. But he says, Jesus of Nazareth, I know who you are. Why are you bothering us? Think about that. Like, he's like, I know who you are. Why are you here? Why are you here? Why? And he says, you are the Son of the living God. Because he knows. He knows who he is. None of them. No one throughout Scripture. Until Peter's proclamation that he is the Messiah, seems to know who he is. But on three occasions, demons know who he is. They know who he is. And he says, "You are the Son of the living God." And Jesus says to him, this power that had come all the way from his home throughout his life, who knows what he had faced to get to this point. And it sat in that synagogue, and Jesus said, "Shut up." That's my version of it. Which, be silent. Shut it. And he was silent. He said, "Get out." And he left. Because he was the Son of the living God. And that is the power of God in our lives. A lot of times when we talk about sin and repentance, people quickly focus over to the sin part. And they say, "Well, you know, this is very negative," or "Woe is me," or all of these things. But the point of repentance, the point of coming face to face with our sins, but also coming face to face with those things that haunt us and control us, the point of really doing it, of being honest, right, is so we can take it and give it away. Repentance is the act of saying, "God, here it is. It's yours now. My baggage is your baggage." But this is the work of Christ on the cross. This is the work of Christ for us. Right? Because on the cross, they figure out what the point of him. Why is he here? To conquer them. To conquer all of it. In the cross, in the whole story of the crucifixion of Christ, we have the drama of humanity. We have Jesus betrayed by friends and abandoned. Jesus mocked and ridiculed. Jesus beaten. Jesus oppressed by the empire. Jesus tortured. Jesus on the cross looking out at his mother who's watching him die. There is a moment where he looks down and says to Mary and John, "Behold your son, behold your mother." And in this whole event, he's taking upon himself, through this system of oppressive torture used by the empire to intimidate the people, through this tree, which in scripture says, "Cursed be anyone who hangs from a tree." He takes the curse. He takes all of it. And so repentance is like saying, it's like screaming it out. You know? It's like taking all of that and saying, "Here. Here. I can't bear it, but you can. Here. I give it to you." That's what repentance is. It's about liberty. It's about being set free, not because life goes away and everything becomes puppies and sugarcane. I don't know why I picked sugarcane. But not because of that. You know, not that it's going to become that, but that when it comes, and it will come, you can give it. You can look upon the wounds of Christ, the suffering of God, and realize he did it to take it from us. That it's a place that we put it. And by his grace, he exchanges his life and who he is for ours. And we receive his absolute forgiveness. And with that forgiveness, his absolute love. And with that love comes what Paul talks about, this liberty you have. In the Corinthians, he talks about the liberty. Liberty that they can eat the meat offered to idols or not eat the meat offered to idols. It's just meat. But with that liberty comes the responsibility of love. Right? We repent and we give it away. And we learn to show the same grace for others, to try to see the best in the person you're in front of, to try to comprehend them with love and try not to hurt them and try to build them up and give them life. It's not a denial of sin. It's not a denial of the struggles of this life. For it is more than we can bear. It's grant us, he says, health of body and soul, that all those things which we suffer for sin, by your help we may well pass and overcome, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. And this you is important. The you is the Father. Right? The Father. Whose Father? Christ's Father. Whose Father? Our Father. See, when we lay it down and we pick up that liberty, that love of God, that freedom in Christ, that freedom from the call to perfection, that call to try to be holy, that call to have the perfect life, that call to hide our struggles from everyone, we also pick up adoption. We are Christ. He is our Father. That liberty to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven." That's a powerful statement to say God is our Father. And so, when we come to it in the service, we will have a time that we will corporately confess our sins, those things we've done and those things we've not done. And there'll be a time of silence. And I invite you to take that time to take the things that are bearing down on you. And what they do in a... you don't have to do the hand motions, but I want you to, the image at least. In the Kenyan Anglican liturgy, they do this thing where they say, we take our sins, we take our struggles, and they go through this list of things they take. And we throw them to the cross of Christ. And there's actually like hand motions. They're better at using their bodies for worship than we are sometimes. But we throw it to the cross of Christ. Take that time to do that. And then come to this meal in perfect freedom, knowing that He has taken it. And that He will meet you by the power of His Holy Spirit. He will come into the midst of each of us, the midst of this community. And He will teach us the hardest lesson to ever, ever learn. You are forgiven. You are received. You are loved. The hardest thing to accept. Forgiveness unto love. And then eat this bread at the family table and drink this wine. And bear your Christian liberty into this world. For you are set free. Repentance is not about beating us up. It's about accepting who we are so that we can be set free. The Lord bless you and keep you. I thank God for each of you. You are the sons and daughters of the living God. Each and every one of you. Amen.